Hey, it's your girl, All That Jazz, on another adventure, and it is the month of August, and with all the news starting this month with the Olympics, I'm just getting super excited about the upcoming season in sports, and my people making moves this month is literally making moves on and off the field, and I'm so happy to have a defensive lineman for the Indianapolis Colts, Mr. Ricardo Matthews, join me for a one-on-one conversation. Thank you so much for joining me, Ricardo.
Appreciate having me, Jazz.
So, Ricardo, I want to know, because I'm always interested in hearing about, you know, how people got started off and different things of that nature. So tell me when you were first introduced to the sport of football.
Well, I was in the seventh grade. I was going to Fort Caroline Middle School, and I basically got introduced there in the seventh grade because you can't play in the sixth grade, unfortunately, in Duval. But I got introduced there. I believe I was North 12. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, my first position was defensive tackle, which now I play now. Well, defensive end now, but all the same things on the line.
Okay.
But, yeah, I got introduced then, and you know, it's just been a steady uprise from there, high school to college to the NFL. It's all been a great experience.
Awesome. So what made you fall in love with football as opposed to any other type of sports?
Well, for one, people can't miss me. You know, I'm super huge. I like to be physical, you know. Toss my weight around, hit somebody, relieve stress, is a good stress reliever.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I can do it without getting in trouble. So that's a big part of it, too.
I know that's right. So that's definitely a great part to be able to relieve stress as well as, you know, make moves and do what you love to do. Beating your body around against other people and making the teams win. So, hey, whatever is your love and whatever floats your boat. So tell me a little bit, because I always love hearing about inspiration or people who have inspired you. Tell me, who were some of your role models when you were growing up?
Well, my biggest role model, which I can't lie, my mom. She helped me mentally, physically, and spiritually all throughout my life. That's who really kept me on the right track. Whenever I was leaning towards the wrong crowd or anything, I always got insight from my mom. She always kept me in the Bible, kept me in church. You know, so I got a real strong spiritual background, and really, my mom, I'm giving all the credit to her. I'm not going to say I don't give no credit to friends or family, but, you know, that's been my biggest role model for the last 15 years up until now. Even to this day, she still texts me, you've been reading your Bible, you've been doing this, you've been doing that. And with that advice, man, I can't ask for anything else. She's always kept me accountable throughout the years since I was an early teen all the way up until now. So, I mean, thank you. If my mom listening to this, I love you, Mom. Shout out. So, yeah, that's been my biggest role model.
And I know that's right. Nothing but mother support and mother's love and just supporting you all the way through your career is the best role model you can ever think of, especially, you know, when it goes to helping you out in your career. And, right. You know, Ricardo, I know you guys are currently in training camp right now. How's that going?
Well, I can't do anything but describe it with one word, and that's grind. I got to grind 24 hours a day. Even when I sleep, I got to get it in my sleep, man. It's like my brain never rests. You know, I'm steady looking at my playbook all the time, in meetings. If I'm not in meetings, I'm trying to cram food down my throat, trying to get carbs in me so I won't cramp up on the field.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than that, you know, I'm in practice twice a day. Pads and one without pads, and it's just all it's really more mentally than physically.
Yeah.
When you get to that point. So yeah, camp is a beast, man. Fans help us make it through it. And you know, we just continue to grind every day and do what we love to do every day. Can't ask for much else.
I can imagine. So speaking about carbs and stuff, what is your usual diet like? I'm always curious. What do you guys eat? Or what do you eat?
Well, yeah, I was going to say that might be the question, what do I eat? Because I really don't eat like a regular person, but I try and always get my greens in, whether it's salad or spinach or broccoli, and then I have my regular protein, eggs, chicken. Try and stay away from pork. I'm not a big pork eater. I love my bacon, though. Don't get me wrong. Everybody loves bacon. But know, I stay away from all the goody sweet foods. And I got to keep my weight down. I've been doing pretty good with that. But, yeah, a lot of carbs, pasta, starch, like either rice or potatoes, particularly sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes are better than regular potatoes, healthier-wise.
Yes.
But, yeah, whatever they serve us, I eat, but they usually have a good selection of good, healthy stuff to eat, so they keep us right.
Good, because I can imagine, like, with doing all that, you know, strenuous type of workouts and type of workout routines, I can imagine you have to have the right type of foods, you know, so that way your body right. won't go into overload or anything like that. So speaking right. of workouts, like, what is a typical workout routine that you use to prepare for the season?
Well, I'll say the off season, which started a little bit before April, I was on it twice a day. I was getting up in the morning from 8 o'clock to about 11 o'clock, get a quick lift in, about 45 minutes to an hour, and then I get my conditioning in, you know, running, whether that be agility drills, you know, working on my footwork or my technique as far as my position, or just even conditioning, you know what I mean, just running long distances. It's hard to make 310 pounds move, trust me. It ain't fun being big. Well, it's fun, but it ain't fun carrying it all around.
Yeah.
All of it is fun, but, you know, you got to do your grind when you're in this profession. And they expect you to be a professional, so you got to live up to the means of that. So, I mean, that's my first day, or that's my first workout of the day, and then my second workout, I come back, kind of do it like a little warm down, nothing heavy in the evening, you know, stretch. Get my body warmed up, maybe get a massage twice a week, get my muscles right. Mm-hmm. But other than that, yeah, it's a lot of maintenance on trying to keep your body right. People don't think it's all that hard, but you got to put a lot of time and effort into your own body.
I can imagine, because I mean, even when I do like a little run across the track here in my neighborhood, I get winded. I'm like, wow. And right. I don't even have that much pounds on me, but I'm like, woo. And I can imagine like trying to get myself in shape. Sometimes I need that motivation and other stuff so people can get me all motivated so I can lose weight. So how about this next season, not this season, because I want to do my own thing, but next season, I'm going to ask coaches if I can join you all and I can work out with you guys. So that way I can get fit.
We're going to see where you at. You can feel free to join me any day of the week, but when I tell you it's more, well, it'll be physical to you, but in the long run, it's more mentally than physical. A lot of people think they can do what, when I say we, I mean professional athletes do, but I give anybody a full check. I give anybody a full check if they can do what I can do for a whole week.
Oh, my goodness. So put me to the challenge next season, not this season coming up, next season, because this season I kind of want to do my own thing. But next season, all that jazz is going to come. She's going to have her game on. She's going to be all that jazz and doing her thing. And watch, I'm going to win. How about that, Ricardo?
How about I come to you? I can come down to Duval now.
Actually, I'm in New York now, so you have to come to New York. So, okay. So, Ricardo, tell me, what is your favorite thing about getting to play in the NFL?
Really, it's just really being around a group of special guys. Like, you really notice, like, when you get from, even when you go from high school to college, you get around a certain group of peer people who are a little bit more disciplined and, you know, they do what they have to do in college and everything like that. But then when you get to the next step, which is the high step, the NFL, it changes from, you know, basically boys to men. Like, you got people who are married on your team. You got people who have, you know, you got kids, people who got kids everywhere. But you know what I mean? You got people who have actual families. And it's just really a good experience being around well-rounded people, you know what I mean? And they keep you accountable, and it's great all the way around. Even besides a sport aspect of the game, like just really vibing and hearing other people's experiences with their actual experience in the league and whether they got cut from a team. You know, just hearing testimonies all the time about what you're basically going to be going through in the next 5 to 10 years if you have longevity in the NFL, but. Yeah, it's real special hearing a lot of people's stories, you know, people come from all different parts of the nation, even different countries in some aspects. I actually got a teammate he's from California, but his heritage is from a small island off in the Pacific, I believe, mm-hmm. called Tonga. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a big man. He looks Hawaiian, but he's a Tongan.
Wow.
And yeah, he is huge, but yeah, like just learning his culture all the time. His name is Phoebe Muwala, by the way, giving him a shout out. That's my big bro. But,
okay.
You know, just learning his way of life and how he grew up, that's just amazing to me, you know what I mean? You get so many different walks of life when you come to the NFL and get to the South.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you're going into your third season and you have all these, you know, different favorite things about being in the NFL. What is your best memories from playing in the NFL thus far?
My best memory is my first sack didn't count on my actual stats for my career because it was in the preseason, my rookie year, but my best memory was, I have to say, the fourth preseason game in my rookie year where I was actually fighting so hard to get on the team. I got drafted, but still, I was still fighting for a spot because it's only 53 men on the roster that they can pick up, and then it's like six additional people who are practice squad. But I was fighting for a spot, and I really didn't think I had a chance, but, you know, faith pulled through for me, and, you know, I was praying, and God made it happen, you know what I mean? I got in on my first play in the third quarter, and before I knew it, I blinked one time. I was in the backfield after the ball was snapped, and I got a sack that quick, and I was just like, wow, like the whole crowd just roared, you know what I mean? And I kind of blacked out for a little bit. It was one of those shocking awe moments for myself. I couldn't even believe I did it, but I mean, I did it, and I feel like that's what solidified my spot on actually becoming a real NFL player in the real season besides the preseason. So I really cherished that moment the most out of my whole career.
Yeah.
Because I was already around behind the eight ball, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
Well, that has to definitely be a huge memory and a big highlight in the NFL for you thus far. And I wish you definitely many, many more. So speaking of highlights, I know sometimes what highlights and, you know, best memories, there are also challenges because in life in general, we have challenges that we go through. So tell me what's the biggest challenge you did while playing in the NFL and what did you do to manage this challenge?
Okay, I know exactly what I'm going to tell you because a lot of people don't know this. When you get to the NFL, unlike college or high school, like you don't have people, you know, yelling in your face telling you, you got to do this, you got to do that, finish your rep here or run this distance and this amount of time. When you get to the NFL, like I said before, they expect you to be a professional. First and foremost, so being a professional, you have to get everything done that they expect you to get done on your time, and you got to do it in a memorable fashion. And if you don't, I mean, it's still, it all falls on you. It's not like they're going to be, you know, so to speak, I don't want to cuss, but in your butt, you know what I mean, all up in you saying, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. Nah, when you get to the NFL, you have to take your time out of your own day and be a professional and do what you have to do, whether that's going to treatment and getting work done on your body as far as icing your leg down or getting a massage or going to see the trainers and getting stretched by the trainers specific different ways, specific muscles that, you know, only people who are professionally trained to do that can only do to you, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So when it comes to, like, the off season, I'll say that's been the biggest challenge for staying in shape in the off season, and because you gotta get up and you gotta do it by yourself, whether you pay a personal trainer to come and train you or whether you get out on your own time and just make it your duty to run every day, lift every day, grind every day, and it really separates professionals from, I guess, non-professionals, so to speak, because, I mean, be real. If I'm going to be real with you. If I wasn't in the NFL, I know this sounds sad, but I would not lift as much as I do, and I would not stay healthy. I wouldn't eat healthy as I do. But since my occupation calls for me to be strict for everything, I have to do that. Not I learned because one season, well, my second season, they actually had a lockout, which locked all the players out from actually going to any facilities and getting the work in that they need to get. So we literally had to do everything on our own last year. And that kind of set, I'm not going to lie, that set me back. And I learned my lesson from that, but it really set me back. And I really realized, like, okay, I'm not in college anymore. I can't depend on my coaches telling me to do this, do that. Like, I got to get out here and do it on my own, or at least get with a buddy and go do something, go train, or just on my off time, go out to a random open field and just run in my cleats, like stuff like that. But that's really the hardest thing to do. And I'm pretty sure you know that too. It, like you said you want to do your own thing this year. You're going to start on that challenge next year. You can't do that. You cannot do that in the NFL. If you do that, you will be behind the eight ball. And being behind the eight ball in the NFL is not cool, because you constantly have people coming up every year who always want your spot. Like, it's never a rest. You can never be secure, so to speak, in the NFL, even if you're an established player, because before you know it, 1 or 2 years pass, every year they bring in, seven, I don't know how many players it is, but it's seven rounds in the draft, and 32 draft picks in the actual round, so times that by seven, that's, 14, one, like, oh, man, I don't want to do the math wrong on the interview, but it's like 300 or 200 and some players.
Mm-hmm.
But you got that many new faces in the NFL every year, so it's people constantly battling for jobs in the NFL, so you're never secure. So you have to do everything in your own power to keep your body right, keep your body healthy, and come in at the appropriate weight, appropriate time, appropriate athletic ability, everything. When the time is called, you got to show up and be on the tip-top of your game, or else you'll be behind the eight ball.
So it definitely takes a lot of self-motivation, I guess. So that's how you manage how to handle that challenge in your career. So, Ricardo, I want to ask you, when you're off the field, what do you spend your time doing?
I read my Bible a lot. I really read my Bible a lot. I believe that's been my game changer from when I first got in the league to now, because I'm not saying I'm getting settled in, but you know, once you go through stuff, like just like being on a regular job, once you've been on a job for so long, you know what to do, you know how to manage your time around what you have to do, you know how much time you can take off. So, you know, I read my Bible a lot. When I'm not reading my Bible, I'm fishing. I'm doing something that's going to keep me occupied. I got all my clubbing out in college, so I don't do that anymore. You know, I'm really trying to focus on myself and bettering myself as a person and a role model every day. So I fish, read my Bible, occasionally go to the gun range. I don't own any guns, though. I go to the gun range.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I do?
Just anything to occupy you.
Right. Anything that's
going to
keep me out of trouble.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's great that you mentioned that, you know, you read your Bible a lot. It's wonderful that, you know, you're keeping yourself spiritually motivated and spiritually connected. And that, to you, is possibly could be your playbook, you know, how you make it through making your own plays. So that's your personal playbook, you know. So it's awesome. Yes, I know that's right. So, you know, that's a wonderful thing. And, you know, that's making moves off the field when you're reading anything that's spiritual enlightening for yourself.
Right.
So tell me, what was the best advice you were ever given?
Best advice I was ever given, referring to football?
Yes, football could be to life, anything.
I feel like this can go for anything, but best advice I was ever told, given the football, came from which I feel like is my mentor since I've been in the NFL, a fellow teammate of mine. Told me my rookie year, he told me in the preseason, he told me, you know what, Ricardo, he said, you can only control what you can control. Don't worry about what these coaches are thinking. Don't worry about what the next man is thinking. Don't even worry about if you getting playing time or anything like that. If you do the most you can do to better yourself, period, point blank, you only control what you can control. And if you feel like you've done everything in your ability to better yourself, then you should be happy. And 9 times out of 10, if you've done everything if you feel like you've done everything that you that's going to get you to where you need to be at, then you should be satisfied, and that should prevail over anything. So, I mean, as long as I live, I always think about that. Like, I always have room for improvement, no matter how old. I don't believe in that. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in that. You always have room to learn until you die.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But you stop breathing, but you can only control. I just feel like that means so much, because you really can only control what you can control. If you do what you need to do, if you're doing the right thing, you can. You don't have to worry about what somebody else thinks of you if you're doing the right thing.
And Ricardo, I always love to end my one-on-one conversations with my people making moves, sending some type of inspirational advice to our listeners. What type of advice would you give to someone who's trying to fulfill their dreams of playing pro football?
I would say perfect your craft as often as you can. Listen to your coaches, no matter if they're chewing you out or no matter if you feel like they're treating you unfairly. And just grind. If you grind to the best of your ability, and don't get me wrong, everybody don't got it. Everybody don't got being a dog in them. So, I mean, you can take what you want from this actual statement or whatever, but do whatever you can to better yourself on and off the field. That's the best advice I got.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you know what? That can definitely apply whether it's in football, but like you said, in life, so off the field. So for anyone out there, that advice can be taken whether, you know, you're trying to get into a sport or you're trying to get into your career-wise. You definitely can, you know, try to better yourself no matter what. So that was wonderful advice, Ricardo. And Ricardo, I want to thank you so much for joining me for this one-on-one conversation. You are definitely making moves, whether it's on the field or off the field. And I wish you the best this season. And my pleasure. And I also want to thank you all for joining me on this conversation, a one-on-one conversation with Ricardo Matthews. And I definitely hope you stay tuned for additional People Making Moves. And whatever you do, make sure that you're doing something that will change the world and better yourself, whether it's on a field or off field. So do what you have to do and make sure that you do it well. And I thank you guys again for joining me. And until next time, I'm All That Jazz. Thank you so much.